by in bed every night. To me it sounded like mumbling, like she was out of her mind. She said, boy, this kind of praying, it's what saved my life. You ought to try it sometime. And now I know she was right. She was talking to Jesus. She was talking to Jesus. And she'd been talking to Jesus for all of her life. And Mama used to drag me to church Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. Khaki pants and a polo shirt. Boy, I put up a fight.
Come on, sing it with us.
She said, son, one day you'll thank me for having God in your life. And yeah, I know she was right. Yeah, my mama was right. Cause now I'm talking to Jesus. She got me talking to Jesus. She got me talking to Jesus. Yeah, my mama was right. Cause now I'm talking to Jesus. Yeah, I love talking to Jesus. And I'll be talking to Jesus for the rest of my life. What a friend we have.
Come on,
in Jesus.
Sing it.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Don't you know?
What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, I've got three of my own now. Trying to raise them upright. My oldest is 15. And I remember
what that was like. So do you folks, come on.
Trying to deal with the drama. Trying to figure out the questions in life. And I've been looking for a way to show him how to make it all right. Then he walks in my room while I was singing my prayers the other night. He said, I'll come back later. I can tell you got a lot on your mind. I said, it's not an interruption. You couldn't have picked a better time. Cause I was just talking to Jesus.
You wanna try it sometime?
Come over and give it a try.
Come on.
We started talking to Jesus. We started talking to Jesus. We started talking to Jesus. Whoa. And now he's talking to Jesus. Thank God. Bad time to start. It don't have to sound pretty. Just tell them what's on your heart. Cause it's not a religion. Cause it's more like a friendship. So just talk to your father. like you are his kid. Just start talking to Jesus. Just start talking to Jesus. You can talk to Jesus. Oh, whenever you like. Just start talking to Jesus.
That's all you gotta do.
Just start talking to Jesus.
Bow your head and start talking today.
Just keep talking to Jesus.
Give him your heart today.
The rest of your life.
Find that peace and joy. You don't need to wait till tomorrow. You can do it right now. Whether you're at home or whether you're at work, you have the right to drop to your knees and give it all to the Lord right now this morning. All you gotta do is start talking to God. Start talking to your Father in heaven. Start talking to the Holy Spirit.
Just talk to Jesus. What a friend we have.
Come on. Gentlemen, I don't think there's ever been truer words ever spoken before. What a friend we have in Jesus. If that song doesn't hit you right here, then I'll keep praying for you. Because there is no way, being a child of God, that you can hear that song and not shed tears. What a friend we have in Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome on this April 18th, year of our Lord, 2024. Today is a very special day in my life. 7 years ago today, 2017, my beautiful Lily was born. 2017, April 18th, 1 month before my wife and I got married, our youngest and our last child was born. And when she watches this later, when she's having her birthday dinner and cake and ice cream, I just want her to see this part where I say, "Happy birthday, Lillian. You are the glue that holds the entire family together. And you are a blessing. Jesus loves you so much. And you are so smart. And I can't wait to celebrate your birthday tonight. And then this weekend when we take you to Legoland." So happy birthday, love. You make mommy and daddy proud. And I'll start out by singing this. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Lillian. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, sweetie. Mwah. We love you, and we hope you had a great day at school today. Folks, I am so happy to be here with you this morning because I had zero idea where God was going to bring me this morning for this message. Now, I usually have no idea until the morning. However, this morning, God wasn't telling me, or maybe I wasn't listening or asking what I was going to talk about today. And then I got to the studio and I started firing up the engines of the studio. And everywhere I looked, on my computer, on my phone, my devotionals, God wanted me to talk about intimacy. God wanted me to talk about intimacy, and I didn't really know why until about 25 minutes ago, which is why you didn't even get a newsletter this morning. God wanted me to talk about intimacy, and as I was going through scripture, he just revealed to me why he wanted me to talk about intimacy, and he revealed to me who needed to hear it. And it was literally everybody. What doesn't matter if you're 15, 25, 45, 55, or even 65. Sex versus love. Because there's a big difference. And as I'm going through these scripture and going through this devotional, I start remembering my entire life with partners. My mother, the mother of my first two children, my two relationships after that, then leading up to my relationship with Sabrina. I married Sabrina 7 years ago, and it was the first time in my life that I had ever been with somebody where the sex was secondary and the intimacy and the relationship was primary. That means I'm 44. That means the first 36 years of my life, well, let's say, let's minus 15 years from that because I lost my virginity at 15. So for the first 25 years of my adult life where I was sexually active, none of those years or none of those relationships were based on relationship and intimacy, and they were based on nothing but sex primarily. And today's message that I have for you regarding that is so incredibly powerful for you to share with your children. Maybe if your grandchildren are old enough, they're in their teens, maybe they're in their early 20s. I have to tell you, folks, I have a warning for them. Now, mostly my message is going to be to young men today because I am a young man, but it can definitely work with young women as well, folks. I am going to hit on stuff today that is going to make you think twice about putting sex primary and worrying only about whether or not you have a good relationship with someone based on your sex life and the lie that exists around that. That's what we're going to talk about today. And Splendor Faith, I pray that this message will help your 20-year-old son. I really do. So as we get in today, I do have three verses for you. And you can write these down or you can type them down in the lower comment section or to remember them. But we're going to touch on three verses today that really kind of talk about this. One of them, 2 Corinthians 10:14. 10:4. I'm sorry, not 10:14. 2 Corinthians 10:4. James 5:16. That's James 5:16. And Ephesians 6:18. Ephesians 6:18. Those are the three verses that we are going to focus on today to kind of help us get and dive into this message of God this morning. But as we're 20 minutes past the hour now, we started a little late, and I apologize. I'll ask you to make sure you're signed in. Please make sure you give a thumbs up for God and his message. And please share the gospel, not the gossip of the world. How many times do you press the share button a day? And how many of those times are for God? That's what you got to ask yourself. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And let's really dive deep into this very, very important topic. Because we always talk about sexual immorality and how the LGBTQ agenda and the sex with everybody agenda is destroying our lives. Well, let's dive deeper into that, right? Sexual, immoral ways of life, sins and way to look at things. Lord and Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for allowing me to trust you to give the word that people need to hear on a daily basis and not try to look for those verses myself or come up with a message on my own that I think people need to hear. I've never done that on Rise Up, as you know, and I will never do that. I will always rely on guidance from the Holy Spirit that Jesus has left for me while he's preparing a place for all of us. The message today is so important for youngsters, but it's also important for people my age and older. The devil uses TV, music, and sex to destroy everything. Let's make sure that what we're watching, what we're listening to, and what we're doing in our bedrooms and with whom are focused in the right direction and are made righteous so that the devil cannot open any doors that will tear us apart. We thank you for this message today. We pray for those that are asking for prayers that you'll be able to answer them and they'll be able to hear you today for comfort and peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning to FL Girl. Good morning to Kelly Ann. Good morning to Water Cop. Good morning to Majorva. Good morning to T. Mitchell and Aspen. Good morning. So, such a good morning today. I mean, look. That's God's beautiful creation behind me. How can we, you know what I mean? How can we wake up every day and look outside and see the sky and see the birds and see the sun and not be excited about what God has in store for us? Good morning, Meemaw. Good morning, Bad Moon. Good morning, Jay Gizme and Funmon. This can be a touchy, sensitive subject. Sex and intimacy can really affect people in a negative way due to traumas and toxic experiences. You are right. You are right. Godchick says, I just read the news article today on seniors and STDs. It was disheartening. I can't imagine being widowed makes you feel like lonely, but leaving God out of your relationship gives you that as well. Sad. Well, it sure does. And I really want to talk about this. So I think the smart thing for us to do today is go to these verses and read these verses, and then I'll tell you a little bit of a story, and then I'll get to my notes that I wrote down for you today. So let's go to 2 Corinthians. If you guys have your computers open or your Bibles open, 2 Corinthians 10:4, okay? And I always start with the ESV, which is the English Standard Version. I think it's the easiest for people to understand. But then we also go in and we talk about, you know, the other versions as well, because we want to make sure that we're spreading God's message correctly. And we want to make sure that nothing is left out in any translations, right? Well, obviously they're going to look different. They're going to sound a little different, but the message should be exactly the same. So 2 Corinthians 10:4 says this: "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." What is the strongest thing that God has given to us? It's our marriage. Well, I would, you know, probably discernment and the Holy Spirit, but I'm talking about in the flesh, in relation with other people on this earth as humans. It is our marriage. Our marriage is to represent our marriage with Jesus. Our unity with our wives and our husbands are supposed to represent our unity in our marriage with Jesus. So when we talk about, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, which we know because it's not about flesh, it's about the spiritual demonic realm, but have divine power to destroy our strongholds. So even though they live in a demonic realm that has no power unless we give them that power, the very fact of letting them in and giving that power will destroy our strongholds. And our strongholds are our heart, our minds, and our marriages. So if the devil can come in and the devil is looking to destroy your marriage, I can guarantee you that the devil will succeed if your marriage is built on sex. And I'm not just talking about, and trust me, I've lived both of them, so I can tell you I'm speaking from wisdom here. It's not just about having a marriage built on constant sex. It doesn't have to be physical, constant sex. But if a marriage is built on, let's say, a man's expectation of having sex more than once a month, then he is going to constantly be thinking about, why aren't we having sex like them as much as I want to? Do you not love me anymore? Are you not attracted to me anymore? Are you not in love with me anymore? And a man will get irritated. I'm sure you all you women know, it's not like my marriage has been any different than anybody else's, or my experiences leading up to my marriage have been much different than anybody else's. We all know when men and women are together, men want sex mostly all the time, and women don't. Now, there are some women that do, and we're also going to be talking about them, just like men constantly always want sex. We're going to talk about that, but there's also that small, or that I wouldn't say it's a small minority. I think it would probably be an average amount of people who probably don't have sex all the time, but the man would like to, and it causes issues in the marriage. Ladies and gentlemen, if sex is a primary part of your marriage, or if not having sex for a few weeks at a time causes issues in your marriage, I can tell you that you guys do not make love, you have sex. Now, I know this is a touchy topic for small, young children, but it's something they need to learn. If sex is happening every day and it's expected to happen every day no matter what, that's a problem. And if sex isn't happening every day and it's causing a problem because of it, because the man wants it more or the woman wants it more, that is a problem. And I would say that you all are not ever making love, that you are literally only having sex. And there's a major difference. There's a major difference. And I got to be honest with you. I do not believe and I could be wrong here, I do not believe you can make love without a higher power in your marriage. I just don't believe it. And I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm saying I have not seen it, and I have lived a very sexual, immoral life. And I'm living a very sexual, moral life now. But I have real, true intimacy now. And I never had real intimacy before. I thought intimacy was sex. I did. I thought the word intimacy meant being intimate together, having sex together. Folks, that is not what the word intimate means. And you cannot, in my opinion, I say this, you cannot be intimate with your wife and make true love unless you have a higher power in your family. God. Because if you don't, it's all about flesh. It's not about anything else. Now, if you don't have God in your life, can sex bring you, make you feel like you're closer together? 100%. 100%. But it's temporary. It is temporary. It's like happiness and joy. Right? Sex is your happiness, while intimacy is your joy. Music said, try dating at a retirement age. Most men expect it on the first date. That's not how you build a relationship, and that is bad. Again, sex is equivalent to happy because it's temporary. Now, again, will a man feel closer to his wife if there's no God in their life and they do what they call make love? Yes, 100%. But again, in 4 days, you'll be wanting it again. And if you don't get it, you'll get mad and it'll cause problems in your relationship. And if you don't have God in your life, I do not believe you can make love. I do not believe you can be intimate the way God describes making love and being intimate with your wife, being one. I don't believe it. And I don't believe it because I lived most of my life irritated if I did not get it. Now, most of my life, I also did not date anybody that wouldn't give it to me. Think about that. And what happens is, if a man is constantly wanting to have sex, and a wife doesn't want to always have sex because she wants it to be not, I wouldn't say few and far between, but she wants it to mean something when you do. She doesn't want you to come in, hey, remember you said we were going to do it earlier? Rip your clothes off, do it, and then bounce, and then walk out of the room. That's not what a wife wants. Now, a man might not mind that. But if you have true intimacy in your life and you have God in your life, then it really does mean much more than that. So that when you do, say once, twice a month, whatever it is, it's everybody's different, it actually means something. It really does. And that means something actually creates a very, very strong relationship. And the devil is constantly trying to take that out. Constantly. He'll use everything he can. Trust me. I literally have to shield my eyes 9 times out of 10, whether it be online or walking around the world. Because it's always right in my face. And I'm like, nope, get it away from me. I'm not looking at that chest. I'm not looking at that butt. I'm not looking at the way that woman walks. I'm not allowing things to be coming on my feed. And if I do, I realize it almost instantly. And I go, what are you doing? Now, that's not to say that I can't say that young lady is pretty. That young lady is beautiful and talented and wonderful. And any guy would be lucky to have her. It's not like I can't say that. It's lust, folks. And the devil will figure out a way to work his way in and destroy that stronghold if your relationship is predicated and based on sex. Now, so many people that I know, so many, and I could name them one after another for the next 10 minutes. So many people that I know have an amazing, great sex life. And they have sex constantly. Oh, we did it here. We did it there. Blah, blah, blah. But you know what they don't have? A happy marriage. A happy marriage. And I would almost be willing to bet that one of you have or are currently cheating on the other right now. And if you're not, you'd like to. See, I don't even would like to. I'm at a point in my life where I wouldn't even do it If I could get away, even if God didn't know it, which is impossible, but I'm giving you like the ultimate hypothetical here. Even if God didn't know it and I could hide it from God, I don't want to. I don't want to do that. I don't want to sleep with another woman other than my wife because for the first time in my life, I have true intimacy. I literally love my wife. Do I want to scream at her sometimes? 100%, who doesn't? CQ says, it might sound silly, but I pray before sex when I can. I keep my Bible open to Psalms 91 for protection in my house. There's nothing silly about that at all. Because I'm going to get to something really serious here, which is going to be the story, which is going to be my story about why I think God brought me to this today. My wife and I went through some problems. I don't know, probably what, Eli, 8 months ago, something like that. Something, I mean, and some serious problems. Nothing about like something that each of us did. It was just about our attitudes. And a lot of it was me too. Constantly jabbing and constantly saying things about, well, it'd be nice if we could have sex once in a while. You know, stupid things like that. And I wasn't really being serious, but I didn't realize that I literally was complaining and not following what I'm saying right now. It led me to understand what I'm saying right now. And so it's been bothering me for a while now because we've been really good for a long time now. But it's been bothering me that her and I are few and far between when we sit together on a date and just pray. Remember when I told you about taking a date with God and you guys said, well, is Sabrina coming too? And I said, not on this one. But I do believe it is time now. So I told her, I said, when we get out to Iowa and when we get settled in our new church and our new life, I said, I want every week when the kids have youth group, I want us to have our date night with God. And I don't want to just stop there. I want to hold your hand over a candlelight dinner at home. And I want to pray with you over our marriage. I want to be super intimate with you with God. Now, people that aren't Christian would be like, so you want God in the room while you guys are having sex? That's a little weird. No, it's not what I'm saying. It's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying I want my wife and my marriage to literally become the most strongest force to be dealt with ever. I want to be a stronghold like no other. And I don't think that there's a way to become or to become more united and more of a stronghold unless you are literally making God a part of it. And I got to tell you, since my wife and I, and really it was a lot on my part, but since my wife and I become more intimate and become more, our sex is fewer and far between. I know that's a little TMI, but it means so much more. And not because the length of time between it, it's just because we're both dealing with so much in life and we confide in each other under God. And when we do come together in this amazing moment, it isn't slobbery and fleshy. It is intimate and spiritual. And I'm just, I don't know really why. Other than the fact that I said to my wife last night, when we get to Iowa, I want to do this every week. I want to have a date night with you and with God. And I want to do it when the kids are at youth group. I want to do something. I want to go to a couple's Bible study, and it's not like a therapy session or anything like that, but I guess it is, but it's something that we want to do together. So it's kind of been weighing on my, you know, cause we want to get remarried again. We want to get remarried literally under God. When we got married in 2017, we had just decided to be Christian in late 2016. So October of 2016, we decided to follow Jesus, and we got married in May of 2017. So we didn't even have, I believe it wasn't a pastor, it wasn't in a church, and it was from a justice of the peace who, by the way, was a Hillary Clinton supporter. It's not what I want. I don't want to be married by somebody like that. So when we get remarried, when we do, whenever that happens, I want it to be under God. I want to have a true marriage united under God. I want to be truly baptized next year in Kentucky when we all go to the Ark. I want to be baptized with my wife. I want to consecrate our marriage in an entirely different way than what I feel that that meant to me all these years that I've been alive. And I just want to read through some notes that I wrote down here for you. Men, young men, this is for you out there, okay? If your mom shared this with you, if your grandma or grandpa shared this with you, we are going to get baptized together, JV. That's what I said. When somebody that loves you shares this message with you, this portion of the show, 40 minutes into the show, is God's message for you. And I don't know what your name is. I don't know what your situation is. But if somebody shared this with you, then they prayed for you, for God to get this message to you. So I pray that you listen to it, okay? And again, this is coming from a man who's... Sex to me was like breathing air. Put it that way. For a long time. Now, men, if you meet a girl and she is really good in bed, crazy, the best you've ever had. Oh, she's so awesome. And you end up marrying that girl. First of all, you shouldn't be having sex with her if you're not married. All right? I know it's 2024. I get it. But trust me, like I told my kids, nothing good comes from sex outside of marriage. You'll either get heartbroken, an STD, pregnancy out of wedlock, and it doesn't matter. You guys get an abortion or breakup or whatever. Nothing good comes from sex outside of marriage. So if you do, and this girl happens to be the greatest sex you've ever had, and you end up marrying this girl, that is not your wife. That's your witch. And you might think to yourself, whoa. What do you mean? You're just going to jump right to that? Yes, I am. That is not your wife. That's a witch. And by the way, women, if you find a man and he's so great in bed and you marry him, that is not your husband. That is your warlock. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. You have to be very careful that you don't sign up for a lifetime supply of sex, because with it comes a lifetime supply of demons. You know who said that? Pastor Driscoll. And he's 100% right. You've got to be so very careful when you sign up for a lifetime supply of sex and your life is predicated, your marriage or your relationship is predicated and based and built off of that sex life. I can tell you, folks, it's not good for you, because when you have a lifetime supply of sex, you will have a lifetime supply of demons. Trust me. I've had them. So mad at my wife because she wouldn't sleep with me. Well, that's a good way to make love. Oh, your wife's going to be like, oh, honey, that's so intimate. That's so romantic that you're mad because I won't give you sex. Makes you feel kind of stupid, doesn't it, men? I look back on it now and I'm like, what? Kittenhead, thank you very much. We're moving to Iowa. She says, don't wait. We're not promised tomorrow. Have your date night this weekend for you and Sabrina on a date night with God. Even if it's in the car in a church lot. Well, you know what? We'll take you up on that. We'll take you up on that. The only reason we were going to wait until then is because trying to buy a house, sell a house, run a business, add a studio to a business, 5 kids, 4 of which are driving us nuts, it's just a little bit, we're like, every hour of every day, we're a little crazy right now. But you're probably right. Maybe we need that break. If that woman, men, young men, listen here. If that woman controls you through sleeping with you, and trust me, you women know what I'm talking about. You know that if you have a man or a husband that's like that, you can get whatever you want. Women have that power. It's really, but you don't want to do that. I'm just saying. If that woman controls you through sleeping with you, two things you're going to need to know. Number one, she'll never stop trying to control you. Never. And we're talking Jezebel spirit stuff here, folks. She'll never, ever, ever stop trying to control you. And number two, she'll probably start sleeping with someone else. And vice versa, if it's a man that's doing this. So whether you are a man or whether you are a woman, the desire to have sex constantly or putting sex primarily because that's what you guys are the best at, that's not what you should be the best at. What you should be the best at is intimacy with that person. That's what you should be the best at. You should figure out what makes that person tick enough for you to have unconditional love for that person. Make sure that you don't even disrespect that person, even if you guys aren't having sex. That's what's that should be your priority right there. Everything else will come after that. And I can tell you this right now. If God is not in your life and you are having great sex, imagine how much greater it would be if God was in your life. That I can tell you is 100% sure, because a little TMI here. My wife and I have always had a great time when we're, you know, what do they call that, Eli? Knocking boots? Doing the horizontal mambo, Eli said. But it was nothing compared to when we became intimate with each other and we put God in our lives. And now we're going to do it more by literally making our date night holding hands and praying together. So let's go to the second verse. James 5:16. James 5:16. Okay? Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. You hold hands and you intimately pray with your wife. There is nothing that brings you closer together. Even if you're having sex, it's not going to bring you closer together than when your hearts are communicating. Eli, somebody said the sleeping bag shuffle. I never heard that one before. When you can hold hands with your wife and pray with your wife, you'll wonder why you never did it before. And most people pray all the time and don't sit and pray with their spouses. My wife and I could work a little better on that. And that's maybe why this show happened today. So yes, confess your sins to one another, pray with one another, love one another, and everything is going to be better than you've ever imagined. Now we're going to go to Ephesians 6:18. One of my favorite groups of verses, 6:11 through 6:18. And it says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Folks, you know what this is saying? That prayer with your spouse activates the seven previous verses before this one, which is the armor of God. Prayer activates the armor of God. So when you're talking about the devil trying to take out strongholds, which is you and your wife, there's no way he can do it if your relationship is based on intimacy, love, and God in the middle of it. If your marriage is sex life is the best, you're screwed. You're screwed. It's over. And how you cap it all off when you're praying with your wife is what they say in Ephesians 6:18, which is going to activate the entire Holy Spirit, the entire armor of God. And nothing can break you down. Nothing can stop you. You can do anything when you are on the same page together. I'm going to tell you another quick story here. A lot of people, Sabrina and I do a lot, okay? And I don't mean we do a lot as if to say we do a lot like we're going here and we're going there and we're always gone and buying things and doing things. I'm not talking about that. We do a lot of things that other people our age don't do or wouldn't do. This move is probably the latest thing that Sabrina and I are doing that is a mountain of issues and problems that must be conquered in order for this move to happen. It isn't just like saying, hey, you know what? Would you like to move? I'd like to move. Okay, let's sell the house. Let's try to buy another house and let's move. That's the idea. But the problems that come with that and the mountains that you must overtake in order to accomplish that, most people would look at you and go, why are you doing that now? What sense does that make? You got this new studio right here. What sense does that make? It's such a monumental task. Why are you even going through it? And our answer is pretty much always the same, because it's what God wants us to do. And we just follow what God wants us to do. And if God be for us, who can be against us? We are two people who are connected as one under God with Jesus in the middle of our relationship. How are you going to stop that? We can walk on water with him. We can move mountains with him. We can come back from the dead and live forever with him. You mean to tell me that a few little things here and there is going to stop that? No, never. We do what God directs us to do, and nothing can stop us. We never look at a problem and say, oh, that just looks like too much of an issue. We're not going to do that. Actually, it's just the opposite. We look at the problem and go, and the problem looks at us and says, please don't do this. Please don't come after me like this. And we look at that problem and we go like this, and we say, we're coming for you. And we do, and we destroy it like it was never there. We're not moving to Ohio. I don't know why people keep saying that. Iowa and Ohio are two very different places. Iowa. I know it sounds like Ohio, but it's Iowa. I keep seeing that. Eli. People go, why Ohio? What's going on with Ohio? Iowa. I-O-W-A. Three states over, I should say, from Ohio. You got Indiana, Illinois, and then Iowa. And it's right above Missouri, right next to Kansas, right kind of near Wisconsin, just a little bit west of it, Iowa. So yeah, folks, that's kind of my message today. And you'll be my neighbor in Illinois. There you go. That's where I'm from, actually. Why Idaho? Everybody every day is not going to do that, Eli. Why Louisiana? Why New Orleans? Why Canada? Splendor Faith, relocating from Texas to Texas from Delaware. Hey, and it's not an easy relocating. My husband's practice is a lot. There you go, man. And you are, together with God, you are destroying that. You are destroying that that mountain that's in your way. Again, folks, Chris Green. It looks like Chris Green just made it. The land of milk and honey, Iowa. Chris, you must know what I'm talking about here. You and Julie, there's no way Julie could be doing what Julie's doing without you and Julie having a intimate, stronghold marriage with Jesus. And I would even bet that Chris would agree with everything that I'm saying about their intimate life. As much as that is a TMI for most people, you can't deny it. With God, all things are possible. With Christ, all things are possible, right? Why not South Carolina? Why Timbuktu? Come to Texas. Michigan said sanctified. Awesome. Love Michigan. Love me some Michigan. I live in Fort Dodge, Iowa. Where in Iowa are you moving to? The Quad Cities. We're moving to the Quad Cities. Why Iowa? Oh, I explained that in yesterday's show. I believe it was yesterday's show, right? Guys, or the day before on Rise Up? Whole explanation in there. Don't have time to give it to you now. But as Chris said, it's the land of milk and honey, right? Pennsylvania needs you. She definitely wouldn't talk about it. Well, see, there you go, Chris. Exactly. My wife will probably hate that I am talking about it. But it is a topic that I believe is important for people, young people especially, to talk about. Because so many people are told otherwise. So many people, young people are just sexualized everywhere they go. And desensitized to sex. Do you know that right now there is a trend, a big trend amongst young people, Eli, for rough sex? It's like it's trending everywhere. And there's all these articles about how Gen Z is all about very, very rough, sexually immoral lifestyles. Rough sex, like sexual assault type stuff. And I'm going, this is exactly what the devil is doing. He is ruining this world through sex. It's all sex. Sex, sex, sex. Eli, what's his name on The Office? Robert California. Everything is sex, right? He wasn't wrong. And it's destroying this world, which is why you see me come down so hard on the LGBTQ community. Jeremy, so Ohio is bad? No, not at all. Not at all. Because I'm not moving there? I think it's bad? No. Will Rise Up show start at the same time? Yes, it will. All shows will be at the same time. Army Dog put up $100 and he said, Cleveland, Ohio. Love Cleveland. Love Cleveland. Love Columbus. Love them both. Ohio's a great state. Finally, somebody's talking about it, Sandra said. You get on YouTube and look at the videos. I'm screaming from the hilltops. It is. It's everywhere. It's on commercials. It's even on just regular commercials nowadays. Satan perverts everything. Sure does. Sure does. Sex is very powerful. The most powerful. How do you think James O'Keefe's organization gets all of these people to speak undercover? It's so easy, and it's all sex. Sex is the driving force for all of it. So, yeah. Rough sex. Would you disrespect your wife and say, honey, going physically disrespect you now, rough sex equals Satanism? Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. Eli moving too? No, Eli's going to stay and man this studio here. Jeremy, did you hear Justin Timberlake turn to the dark side? Thought he was always there. Toledo is 4 minutes from here. I know Toledo well. Two male bodybuilders having sex is rough and disgusting. Love Ohio, 65 years. Will you ever have a studio audience? Well, funny you say that, because once I get out centrally located, we're actually thinking about doing a couple live from America shows, or LFA TV network shows live. So basically a panel of LFA TV hosts and others and guests. So yeah, we're thinking about that. A few seconds of it is even so demonic. It is, Ashley, 100%. Love is not rough. Make love not sex. Woo! Sanctified, that might be the statement of the day. All right, guys, well, I want to thank you. And because I love that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, I want to go back and go to that song for the outro today, as we always do. But I do hope today's message actually rang true in some people's hearts. I hope what I said today helped you, or maybe helped somebody in your family, like a youngster or something. Because it is a very important topic, and most people won't talk about it. Most pastors won't talk about it. Most people will not talk about it. Church will not talk about it. Sex is such a very taboo and touchy subject that nobody talks about it. Well, like politics and religion, when you don't talk about them, they run amok and they get out of control. I will talk about it. I have no shame in my game. So when you need things to get real, when you need the gospel to get real, real, come here to Rise Up and spread the word, folks. All right, I love you guys. Time to talk to Jesus on the way out of here. Mike Crispy and Unafraid comes up next, followed by 2 hours of Live from America. We really appreciate you being here with us today. But let's talk to Jesus on our way out. I love you guys. God bless you. And we'll see you at 11. Bye-bye.
Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. Khaki pants and a polo shirt. Boy, I put up a fight. She said, son, one day you'll thank me for having God in your life.
The words are there, sing it, come on.
And yeah, I know she was right. Yeah, my mama was right, 'cause now I'm talking to Jesus. She got me talking to Jesus. She got me talking to Jesus. Yeah, my mama was right, 'cause now I'm talking to Jesus. Yeah, I love talking to Jesus. And I'll be talking to Jesus the rest of my life. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Don't you know?
What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Whoa. I've got three of my own now, trying to raise them upright. My oldest is 15, and I remember what that was like. Trying to deal with the trauma, trying to figure out the questions in life. And I've been looking for a way to show him how to make it all right. Then he walks in my room while I was singing my prayers the other night. He said, I'll come back later. I can tell you got a lot on your mind. I said, it's not an interruption. Couldn't have picked a better time. 'Cause I was just talking to Jesus. Come over and give it a try. We started talking to